live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, residents and business owners in the Finn Valley area are being warned to be alert following sightings of a number of vehicles acting suspiciously. There's been a 13.5% drop in the number of people on the live register in Donegal compared to the same period last year. A leading liver specialist has blamed the drinks lobby for delaying the public health alcohol bill, and there are calls on the HSE and the Minister for Health to urgently approve a funding request from Letterkenny University Hospital to reopen a short stay ward. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with Kenny Harkin at about 5:15. But first in news, a man who was killed in a quad bike incident in Plumbridge in County Tyrone has been named locally as well-known businessman Nishi Ward. The incident happened at around 5 o'clock yesterday evening. Emergency services, including an air ambulance, attended the scene, and he was pronounced dead a short time later. West Tyrone MLA Daniel McCrossan says Mr. Ward's death is a huge loss to the local community and to all who knew him.
This incident is shocking. It has left and shook the entire community, particularly when we had learned who it was. These incidents are never easy and they are always quite tragic, but in the circumstances of which I've learned in the last number of hours, the entire community are devastated to learn of the loss of such a key figure in the lives of the people of Plumbridge, in Strabane and in Tyrone. And in the wider area than that, he was a local employer, a large local employer, very proud, family man, loved his wife and kids very much, and a man that was deeply rooted and dedicated to his community and doing something to better the lives of the people that surrounded him if he found himself in a position to do so, which he did. And I can say today that as someone who knew him personally and considered him a friend, and Joe Byrne before me was the same, we are in a deep state of shock today and find these details deeply, deeply regrettable.
Residents and business owners in the Finn Valley area are being warned to be alert following sightings of a number of vehicles acting suspiciously. A white Toyota Hiace van with a partial registration SK and Eco written on the side has been sighted in Killigordon in recent days. Meanwhile, a dark Peugeot car has also been reported acting suspiciously in the area today. The warnings have been issued via text alert by the Gardaí, and anyone with information is asked to contact Letterkenny Garda Station. Meanwhile, local councillor Patrick McGowan says it's further proof that the text alert scheme is invaluable.
This last while, there just seems to be quite a bit of activity of vehicles acting suspiciously, or whether the people are sussing out the area or whatever, and the Gardaí have checked these out, and they've seen fit then to issue the text alert out to the Finn Valley text alert area. So it is so important for people to be signed up and be on the text alert system in order to keep an eye out for both themselves, their family and their neighbours.
Now, there is a current system in place where people can sign up to the Finn Valley text alert scheme and indeed renew their existing accounts.
Yes, people can come to Mantis Green, the post office of the Cross, the Burns of the Schoolie, Castlefin Post Office, or the CPA in Castlefin, and that scheme now has been up 2 or 3 years, and it's time now to renew. So people need to get their applications forms and get them pay their 10 euros. You know, it's very cheap for a wee bit of security, and it's not perfect. It won't certainly replace Gardaí, but, you know, it helps us be unaware, and I think the more people looking out and watching, I got 2 reports yesterday of suspicious vehicles in the area, and I would pass them on the guards as well, or neighbours, keep an eye out through the text alert. And also, you have a new text alert starting in Belfast and Ardagh, which is going to be launched on Wednesday night, the 22nd. So the more areas that are signed up and the more people are signed up, like, we must try to prevent the crime before it happens and make people aware. There's big issues at the moment about lack of Gardaí, but the few Gardaí that are there, we need to try and help them do their job in order to try and save us and save our neighbours from any further distress.
There's been a 13.5% drop in the number of people on the live register in Donegal compared to the same period last year and down 2% on last month's figures. In Letterkenny, 3,678 people are on the live register, down 14% on the 2016 figure. Trish Lafferty reports.
There are 12,120 people on the live register in Donegal, with a drop in figures across the county as a whole. In Dunloe, 1,214 people are on the live register, a drop of 21% compared to the same period last year. There was a fall of 13% in Ballybuffet, with 1,722 on the register, and a decrease of 9% in Ballyshannon, both compared to the same period in 2016. There were 2,242 signing on in Buncrana, down over 300, with a drop of 8% in the number on the register in Donegal town. While in Dunfanaghy, there are 862 people on the live register, down 10%, and 621 in Killybegs, also down compared to the same period last year.
There are calls on the HSE and the Minister for Health to urgently approve a funding request from Letterkenny University Hospital to reopen a short stay ward. The ward, which was closed during the summer, would increase bed capacity at the hospital by 20. Donegal Deputy Charlie McConnell says management at the hospital are seeking an investment of €1.8 million to fund the reopening of the ward and employment of extra staff. He is calling for the request to be approved without delay.
On many days we've had up to 20 patients and over on trolleys, and this proposal would actually address that issue and ensure that there's increased capacity in the hospital. There is the physical infrastructure there and physical space available to actually put these beds in place. What we need now is the funding to have the staff available to do it as well. The hospital have indicated that if that funding is provided, they would be in a position within a month to actually have those 20 beds operational. So I believe there's absolutely no reason or excuse or defence for why the government actually shouldn't provide that funding. And we need to ensure that we have actually the capacity to meet the patients that are coming into the hospital, and also to ensure then as well that we don't see the recurring situation where outpatient appointments and operations are cancelled on a regular basis because of overcrowding in the A&E.
And reopening this short stay ward would indeed help patients and the overcrowding levels to decrease, but it would also ease some pressure on staff.
It absolutely would. I mean, the staff are operating under immense pressure whenever there's overcrowding and whenever there isn't beds for all the patients that need admittance. And the only way that you can deal with that is ensuring that there actually is sufficient beds in the hospital. This additional 20 beds would address the overcrowding that we've been seeing in recent times and ensure and relieve the pressure on the staff as well as a result of that. But what it needs is €1.8 million of funding from the government for that. There's no point in the government coming forward in the middle of the winter when they're in a crisis with that funding. It's needed now.
A leading liver specialist has blamed the drinks lobby for delaying the public health alcohol bill, saying almost 2,000 people have died in the intervening period. The public health alcohol bill is back before the Senate next week and, if implemented, will introduce a minimum price per unit of alcohol. Juliette Gash reports.
When you go around the wards, like I did this morning, you find there are many patients in the wards who are dying as a consequence of alcohol.
Liver specialist Frank Murray after a typical ward walk in Beaumont Hospital. As chairman of the Alcohol Health Alliance, he's deeply dismayed at the delay in the public health alcohol bill, which would, among other things, introduce a minimum price for alcohol. Professor Murray says it works.
Minimum unit pricing is a proven effective method of reducing alcohol consumption among people who've got a problem with alcohol and also among people who are younger, because both those groups tend to be quite price sensitive.
He's also blaming the alcohol industry for lobbying against the bill.
Delaying the bill by alcohol lobbying has caused about 2,000 deaths, because there are about 1,000 deaths per year, and it's almost 2 years since the bill was first introduced and it hasn't been enacted yet.
Jonathan McDade from the Alcohol Beverage Federation of Ireland disputes this.
We're not blocking or delaying this bill. We're simply representing the interests of over 200,000 people that are working in the brewing, distilling, retail, hospitality and tourism sector.
The ABFI says it's not entirely against the bill, but wants it modified. The bill will go before the Senate next week. Juliette Gash, Beaumont Hospital.
The latest census report has revealed that there are double the amount of people with disabilities unemployed compared to the rest of the population. Disability and equality trainer Frank Larkin says the Census 2016 report is disappointing but not surprising. The unemployment rate amongst persons with a disability was 26.3% according to Census 2016, more than double the 12.9% rate for the population as a whole. Mr. Larkin says infrastructure is a major concern.
I'm not surprised, to be honest with you, but at the same time, it's very disappointing to see the figures, and there are many and varied reasons for it. There are double the amount of people with disabilities unemployed as there are opposed to people in the rest of the population.
And what measures would you like to see the government take?
It's just over 2 years ago now, the government put in place a 10-year strategy for employment for people with disabilities. And we're 2 years on, and you have figures like that. And at the time, many people within the disability sector said quite rightly that this wouldn't create one job for people with disabilities. The first thing that needs to change is the infrastructure. First and foremost, people can't get to work often. If you take a county like Donegal, you've no public transport system that's accessible to people with disabilities. But yet and all, a couple of years ago, the government, in their wisdom, took away the mobility grant and the motorised transport grant. So if people were to take up a job, how do they get to their work? People not having maybe adequate personal assistance services in place to be able to assist them to get to work, to be able to carry out their jobs, and to be able to be active within the labour market. And not only Donegal, but I mean anybody in rural Ireland at all. You know, like, all you have to do is look at, which I always pick out, Michaela, as the single biggest issue, is transport. I mean, accessible transport is just simply non-existent. And, you know, that just creates a problem in itself straight away. Like, you can apply for all the jobs you want, but how are you supposed to get there?
People in Donegal are being reminded that applications are being received for the grant scheme to conserve traditional farm buildings in the county. The aim of the Traditional Farm Buildings Grant Scheme is to conserve traditional farm buildings, including roofs, walls and structural repairs. Catherine Gaffney has more.
Funding is available for the conservation of Donegal's traditional farm buildings and other related structures from the Heritage Council in partnership with the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine under the Traditional Farm Buildings Grant Scheme. Grants will also be available for other related structures such as historic yard surfaces and landscape features around the farmyard such as walls and gate pillars. The minimum grant offered will be €4,000 while the maximum amount will be €25,000. The Heritage Council estimates that between 50 and 70 projects will be supported countrywide next year. To be eligible for the scheme, buildings and other related structures must have architectural or vernacular heritage character and make a contribution to their setting. Application forms can be downloaded from the Heritage Council website. The closing date for applications to the scheme is Friday, November the 24th.
People in Donegal are being encouraged to register to vote. The closing date for the electoral register this year is November the 25th. Cathaoirleá of the Inishowen Municipal District Councillor Jack Murray says voting is a hugely important aspect of life and everyone should be in a position to make a difference to Irish society. He is calling on young people in particular to register to vote.
I'd be encouraging anybody who's not on the electoral register, put their name forward and get on register to vote. At this point, all you need really is your name, your address and your date of birth. After the 24th of November, things get a lot more complicated. I particularly call on young people to register to vote because there's loads of young people in this county who missed the deadline to register. And I remind people that even 17-year-olds can register to vote. As long as you'll be 18 by the 15th of February next year, you'll be able to be added onto the register. And if you're 18 at the time of the next election, you'll be able to vote.
The Social Protection Minister says there needs to be more inspections of rental accommodation. Regina Doherty was speaking in the wake of last night's primetime expose of cramped, unsafe properties. Minister Doherty says those in receipt of rental supplements should get a minimum standard of housing, but that it must apply to all renters.
We need to make sure that we get to the case, that there's a minimum standard, that there's inspections that's carried out. I think if you look at Dublin City Council, not to just happen to be that that's what the programme was about last night. It's one of the largest rental sectors that we have in the country, but one of the smallest inspection regimes, and that's clearly something that needs to be looked at.
A Donegal County Councillor is calling for tourism potential in East Donegal to be maximised in order to boost the economy in the area. Councillor Gary Doherty says the area has plenty to offer visitors. A Donegal East Tourism Group has been set up to work with different sectors throughout the Finn Valley area to promote the region as a tourism destination. Councillor Doherty says as a gateway to the rest of the county, it's vital that East Donegal is promoted.
It's an area of the country that's perfectly positioned to benefit from any increased numbers of tourists that are coming to Donegal. And we have seen that in the last year or two, particularly from mainland Europe, from Germany, from France, from Italy. A lot of them are enticed by the attractions of the Wild Atlantic Way, and Donegal as a whole has done well in attracting tourists to the Wild Atlantic Way. But in East Donegal, we're a gateway region to the rest of the county. And I think it's vitally important that we showcase the many attractions that we have in that area, and that we do what we can to keep some of those tourists.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's Kids Midterm Sale, this week only. Gear up at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And it's 18 minutes past five, time for the latest sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with Gaelic games, and the 2017 Football All-Stars are expected to be dominated by the All-Ireland finalists Mayo and Dublin. Dublin duo Stephen Cluxton and James McCarthy. They're up against Mayo pair Andy Moran and David Clark for the honour of Footballer of the Year. Joe Canning, Jamie Barron or Kevin Moran will be awarded Hurler of the Year. Those decisions will be made tonight. Well, back locally, there's a big hurling match on here in Donegal over the weekend. It's the Ulster Hurling Junior Club Championship Final. It's on in McCool Park at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And Satanta, the Donegal representatives, they're up against Namah of Derry. We'll have full coverage of that game here on Sunday in Highland Radio Sunday Sport. Satanta have a couple of injury concerns going into that game. Declan Coulter, a former inter-county hurler with Armagh, nursing a calf injury, while Donegal senior player Niall Cleary is trying to shake off a hamstring injury. Both Satanta and Namah have lost twice in the final of this competition over the past 10 years. So for one of them, it'll be a case of third time lucky. That action's on Sunday. Elsewhere in the county over the weekend in football, there's mainly under 21 A, B and C action. Those take place over Saturday and Sunday. Moving on to soccer, and Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp says winger Sadio Mane could return to action at West Ham tomorrow. He's been out to injured since the start of last month with a hamstring problem. Klopp says he'll be careful how much Premier League game time the player gets. And Wolves can go up to take a 4-point lead at the top of the Championship tonight. They welcome Fulham to Molineux with a 7:45 kickoff. Well, Bristol City captain Bailey Wright's been given a 2-match ban for diving, while the player who he pushed has had his red card overturned. Fulham will now have forward Abdou Camara available for tonight's game against Wolves. The Frenchman was sent off during that 2-0 defeat on Tuesday for an off-the-ball incident. And UEFA will decide next week how long they'll ban former Manchester United defender Patrice Evra for, after he aimed a kick at a Marseille supporter's head. He was involved in a confrontation with the side's own fans before the Europa League game against Vitória in Portugal, and was sent off in the warm-up. Well, the big action here in Ireland over the weekend is the FAI Senior Cup Final. That's Dundalk are playing Cork City at the Aviva Stadium. 3:30 is the kick-off time on Sunday. The Cork City manager, John Coffey, is hoping to have a full squad to choose from. Greg Bulger and Ryan Delaney are both available after suspension, leaving only long-term absentees Johnny Dunleavy and Alec Byrne out injured. The Oscar Trainer Interleague Trophy gets underway again tomorrow. And the Inishowen League are back in action. They travel to play Cavan and Monaghan and Coot-Hull tomorrow evening. And we'll be speaking to Dermot O'Brien, the Inishowen manager. Of course, Inishowen were defeated in last year's final. We'll be speaking to Dermot on Saturday Sport tomorrow. The Inishowen League has limited fixtures because of that. Obviously, there's action in the Shield semi-finals. There's a few games down for decision in Division 1 and Division 2 of that Inishowen League. Donegal Saturday League, there's two games in each division, in Division 1 and 2 tomorrow. Aranmore United are playing Castle Fun. Glencairn plays Strand Rovers in Division 1. Kildrum Tigers host Raphoe and Drumkeen play Fantown. Those games in Division 2. There's a full fixture list down for decision in the Donegal League Sunday. Divisions Premier, Division 1 and Division 2. The Ulster Senior League, there's two games down for decision on Sunday. It's a top of the table clash when Letterkenny Rovers, they host Cockhill Celtic, and Fannad United play Swilly Rovers. The Ulster Senior League manager Anthony Gorman confirmed a 20-man squad for the forthcoming FAI Intermediate Interleague tournament coming up. It's been held in Galway from November 17th to 19th, and Anthony in his first year as Ulster Senior League team manager finalised his panel. Five in a row champions Cockhill Celtic have nine players in the squad, with Letterkenny Rovers having six. There's two from Fannad and Derry City and one from Bonagie United. The SSE are Tricity under 15 league quarter final tomorrow at the Dry Arch Park out in Bonagie at 2 o'clock kickoff. Finn Harps under 15s play Bohemians. Well, moving on to golf and the European tours, the Turkish Airlines Open. The best of the Irish this week is Shane Lowry. He shot a 66 today to sit in 8 under par. That leaves him 6 shots off the lead of Nicholas Coulsarts. He's in 14 under par, 4 clear of Eddie Pepperell. The rest of the Irish, Paul Dunn and Patrick Harrington, they're both back on 5 under par. But Shane Lowry, after a 66 today, said he's pleased with his position going into the weekend.
It is the type of course, if you drive it well, you can make a lot of birdies. So, you know, I was driving it lovely for the first number of holes, and I gave myself a lot of chances. The greens are beautiful, so when you give yourself a chance, you know, you hit a good putt to generally go in. So, yeah, I mean, it was a good day, and I'm looking forward to the weekend.
And the PGA Tour, the Shriners Hospital for Children's event, is taking place in Las Vegas this week. Wee Kim is leading the way on 6 under par, just getting into the second round. Seamus Power's 4 off the lead on 2 under par, with Graham McDowell a further shot back on 1 under par. In rugby, the Rassi Erasmus era at Munster comes to an end. At Irish Independent Park tonight, they face Bernard Jackman's Dragons in the Pro 14, with Johan van Graan set to take over as head coach after tonight's game. Kickoff is at 7:35. Elsewhere, 21-year-old centre Conor O'Brien makes his debut for Leinster tonight. They're away to unbeaten Glasgow. Kickoff in Scotstown is also 7:35. Craig Gilroy and Nicky Adilopin will make their first starts of the season tomorrow. Gilroy has recovered from a back injury to earn his 150th Ulster cap against the Southern Kings in South Africa. Adilopin has overcome knee surgery to join Tiernan O'Halloran and Dara Leader in the Connacht back three for their game against Toyota Cheetahs at the sports ground. Locally, City of Derry, they travel to play Navan tomorrow. Alec McDonald will be covering that game on Saturday Sport. In the UFC, Joe Duffy returns to the UFC Octagon at the Madison Square Garden this weekend. The Donegal man will fight James Vick in the lightweight contest at the New York venue on Saturday night, with the winner expected to push closer to a title shot. Vick, who has an 11-1 record, is seeking a third straight one, while Duffy, who is 4-1 in the UFC, steps back into the promotion, having signed a new 7-fight deal. The fight's on the undercard of the middleweight champion Michael Bisping, his title fight with George St. Pierre. In athletics, the Donegal Senior Cross Country Championships takes place in Finn Valley on Sunday, Sunday the 5th. And in basketball, in Division 1 tomorrow evening at 6:30, Dublin Lions, they play the LYAT. That one's in Clondalkin. Finally, for this evening, in cricket, Niall O'Brien, Paul Stirling and George Dockrell, they're back in the Irish squad for their final ICC Intercontinental Cup match against Scotland in Dubai at the end of the month. The three players missed August draw with the Netherlands in Dublin due to injury. That's all your sport for this evening. The next sport here in Highland will be Saturday Sport from tomorrow from 2 to 6. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And for weather now, a mix of cloud and brighter clear spells this evening. It will be dry in most places, but there will be some outbreaks of light rain and drizzle under thicker cloud, with minimum temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a man who was killed in a quad bike incident in Plumbridge has been named locally as well-known businessman Nishi Ward. There's been a 13.5% drop in the number of people on the live register in Donegal compared to the same period last year, and down 2% on last month's figures. In Letterkenny, 3,658 people are on the live register. There are calls on the HSE and the Minister for Health to urgently approve a funding request from Letterkenny University Hospital to reopen a short stay ward. The ward, which was closed during the summer, would increase bed capacity at the hospital by 20. The latest census report has revealed that there are double the amount of people with disabilities unemployed compared to the rest of the population. Disability and Equality trainer Frank Larkin says the Census 2016 report is disappointing but not surprising. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, you can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, November the 3rd. The tragic death due to an accident has occurred of Patrick Ignatius Nishi Ward, 7 Landahussie Road, Lisnacreet, Plumbridge. Nishi's remains will repose at his late home tomorrow morning from 11 o'clock. Funeral from his late home on Monday morning at 20 past 10 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in the Sacred Heart Church, Plumbridge. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Air Ambulance NI, care of Charles Lynch, Funeral Director, 50 Castlefin Road, Castlederg. Family time, please, from 9 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place in Letterkenny University Hospital of Maggie Barney McGowan, Nae McLaughlin, Newbridge Rathmullen. No wake at the request of the deceased. Her remains will be reposing at St Junan's Nursing Home Ramelton tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock until 5:30 p.m. Removal from there going to St Catherine's Church Auchterlinn Rathmullen to repose overnight. Requiem Mass on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock with burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. The death has taken place at Alton Galvin Hospital off Stephen McElwee, 12 Garvin Park, Glebe, Sion Mills. Remains are reposing at his home tonight from 8 o'clock. Funeral leaving his home on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Mass in St Teresa's Church, Sion Mills at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to WHSCT, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has occurred at Harbour Lights Nursing Home Killybegs of Philomena Craig, Shanahan, Lockross Point, Ardragh and formerly Crumlin, Ardragh. Her remains are reposing at her late residence at Shanahan. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 10:30, going to the Church of the Holy Family, Ardragh, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Alzheimer's Society, care of Derek McCabe, Funeral Director, Ardragh. The death has taken place at the Harbour Lights Nursing Home Killybegs of Francie Boyle, 110 Ard Patrick, Glenties. Remains are reposing at his late residence with rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow morning to St Connell's Church, Glenties, for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Alzheimer's Society, care of James McGuinness and Sons, Funeral Directors, Glenties. The death has occurred in St Luke's Hospital, Dublin, off Gracie Gallagher, Gracie, Jamie John, Sleahan, Derrybeg. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. Family flowers only, donations in lieu to St Luke's Hospital, Dublin, care of Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director, or any family member. The death has occurred in Glasgow of John O'Donnell, John Nelly, Glasgow and formerly of Upper Kedgy, Burtonport. His remains are reposing at his late residence in Glasgow. Leaving there today, going to Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Cardonald, for 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, with burial afterwards in St Convall's Cemetery. All inquiries to Anderson Maguire, Funeral Directors, Glasgow.
The death has taken place off Sue Broad, Bromley House, The Lag, Milford and formerly Stoke-on-Trent, England. Funeral service in Ray Community Centre tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock with burial afterwards in Tully Cemetery. Family flowers only, donations if desired to Jigsaw Donegal, Kev Sweeney Funeral Directors or any family member. The death has occurred in the Donegal Hospice of Bernard Fuller, Hillcroft Ardagh, St Johnston. Private cremation will take place in Lakeland's Crematorium Cavan today. No flyers, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, Care of Kelly Funeral Directors, Oakfield, Rathoe. And the death has taken place at Knockmoy Lodge, Omagh, off Kathleen Peoples, Naid Dunyan, 66 Bridge Street, Strabane, and formerly of Lower Main Street, Strabane. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Catherine Peoples' home, 12 Avish Grove, Strabane. Funeral leaving her daughter's home tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Knockmoy Lodge Residents Comfort Fund, Care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newton Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight.